The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Saturday evening, New York sports fans. I am Danielle McCartan. I'll be talking all things New York sports with you right up to 11 p.m. here in New York City and beyond. And thanks for tuning in. Rami, Lavi, and I are live right here in Lower Manhattan. 888-808-1019. Call us up, be part of the conversation, and because live from New York, it is Saturday night. And, look, last night was a lot of football. I'll mix in some Giants and some Jets tonight, but something that I really wanted to talk about, and by the way, we still have to talk about also this Michigan-Ohio State fight. We'll talk about that as well, but I really wanted to start tonight with some baseball. And look, I'm not pretending to be a math wizard or even a finance wizard here in the baseball capital of the United States. I'm just a big baseball fan, and I love the sport. I played the sport. I just love the game. And when I think, big picture, I zoom out, right? And I believe that the sport is being hurt by the number of deferred contracts given out by a singular team. For the first thing, it creates like this dreaded like NBA-like super team, which, to me, personally, my personal taste, makes the NBA unwatchable. And then this skirting around the competitive balance tax, this luxury tax finessing that's going on. I mean, the whole concept behind the tax is to spread the wealth to these, I'm going to use air quotes here, smaller market teams, if you will, just to balance the level of competition, to create a semblance of parity. And by finessing it, the Dodgers are not only growing more powerful, but directly correlated to their growth and power is a growing weakness in those teams that are supposed to benefit by it. Like, for example, with the Dodgers, Snell's deal would count around $33 million against the tax threshold instead of the $36.4 million it should have been. Then, of course, this whole concept here begins to create a greater separation between the haves and the have-nots. And overall, it's not a good look. It's not a good look for the game of baseball, for the game. For the Dodgers, hey, do all you can. More teams should be doing it until it gets clamped down. But right now, it's like the Wild Wild West. And I totally get it, right? This isn't a new concept. Devers is deferred in Boston, Arenado in St. Louis, Lindor, Diaz, and Bobby Bo. It's Bobby Bo Day. I mean, he was the first that I can think of that had deferred money in his contract, right? So this is not new. But the problem I have currently and now, and why we're talking about it now, is because of this Blake Snell thing. It brought it back to the forefront. The problem I have is that the LA Dodgers have six rostered players playing on deferred contracts. Six of them. Six starters. And those deferred contracts, when you add them up, total, and again, I'm not a math whiz here, but total about just $1 billion with a B. That's the amount of deferred contract money they have. And allegedly, the Dodgers are in on Soto too. More than 30% of every one of those contracts is deferred money out there in La La Land. And Ohtani's is 97% deferred. And it's not, for a lack of a better word, it's just not fair. And again, it hasn't been a real problem until now, when so many players on one single team are playing under that same style and same type of contract. Now, I've heard a growing sentiment that, you know, people angry at the clouds and they're yelling, there needs to be a salary cap instituted in baseball. On that, I disagree. And I'm sure the players' union would disagree as well. I disagree with the salary cap for a different reason than they probably would. I look at the NFL, especially. I look at roster turnover related to cap considerations and or financial reasons. Like, why do you think Saquon Barkley now wears green and plays his games in Lincoln Financial Field, his home games there? Money. So I would make the argument that roster turnover, like, okay, so Saquon Barkley goes to Philadelphia. People still follow him, people who still know who he is, and he's still a superstar. But I argue that a roster turnover would not be good for baseball under a salary cap, which is, baseball is a sport that can't even figure out how to market its superstars that are signed to long-term deals with the teams that are already on. Mike Trout, for example, if he walked down the block here, you know, lower Manhattan, anywhere, New Jersey even, outside of his little town that he's from in South Jersey, I bet you exactly zero people would recognize him. And the guy, he's a superstar. Heard a lot, but he's a superstar for sure. So to have a guy like him move teams because of cap considerations, I think it would be counterproductive to the growth of the game. And same thing with Bobby Witt Jr. out there in Kansas City. The runner-up to Judge's MVP season. This might even be a better example. Describe to me what Bobby Witt Jr. looks like without Googling him. I bet you there's a small percentage of people that can accurately do that. The diehards. And I'm not buying the whole narrative, well, you know, he plays in Kansas City. Because you know, or do you know, that his home stadium, Kauffman Field, shares a parking lot with some pretty easily recognizable football players in that exact same city. Tell me what Patrick Mahomes looks like. Tell me what Travis Kelce looks like. I mean, tell me what Travis Kelce's mom looks like. Or Brittany, we even know her name, Brittany Mahomes. But you can't tell me what Bobby Witt Jr. looks like? The casual fans definitely can't do it. And that is a major problem for the sport of baseball. And it would be compounded by the existence of a salary cap. And instead, listen, they don't pay me the big bucks around here. Not yet, anyway. But I do propose two things. One, I propose a salary cap floor. So if you're an owner, your payroll must be above whatever designated number that is, salary cap floor. Like, you have to spend a certain amount of money in order to ensure that your team is, in the least bit, competitive. That you are at least trying to create a competitive team or being forced into doing it. Now, obviously, a ton of moves still need to be made this winter, so it's not worth looking at the 2025 payroll, you know, calendar or whatever for each team. But you go back to 2024, this past season. Look at the disparity. The Mets had the highest total payroll allocations, and I'm just going to round it to a nice number here. This I can do: $315 million. Scroll all the way down to the Oakland A's. And the lowest total payroll allocation, $62 million. Now, let me get a calculator out. That's a disparity of $253 million from the highest payroll to the least payroll. That is a huge disparity, and it's a huge problem. These owners that are unwilling to spend money. You got one end of the spectrum that the Dodgers are throwing money in the air, and they don't care. There's got to be a song about that somewhere. And then you've got owners like the A's and the Pirates that are just unwilling to spend money. The Rays, the Marlins. I mean, how could you possibly, if you're one of those four teams, just for example, how could you possibly attract top-tier talent to your team when those players, those top-tier players, top-shelf players, are interested in ring-chasing with deferred contracts elsewhere? Because you can't. That's the answer. You can't compete. The second thing I propose, a league-wide punishable mandate to all owners and ownership groups that the funds raised by this competitive balance tax need to be spent on your bettering your team, which would probably be priority number one for me, maybe bettering your ballpark, maybe bettering the fan experience by, I don't know, lowering ticket costs, parking costs, food costs, or just something related to the team. Because if people don't show up, that's a problem for the game. Big picture again. There should be no reason under any circumstance that money lands in someone's pocket. That should be punishable. And the third thing I would propose is you got to gain a handle on deferred money. And I don't know what that would look like. Would it be an elimination altogether? No, that's probably not feasible. Maybe it's restricting teams to a set dollar amount that could be, you know, allocated for deferred money over the course of maybe, you know, you could put different parameters in over the course of, you know, one season, five seasons, and 10 seasons for those longer term contracts. Maybe that's the answer. Or maybe it's a number or a quantity of contracts that can be allowed to be deferred per team. Maybe that's it. Again, I'm not a mathematician. I'm not a finance major. I don't work on Wall Street. Okay? But I'm also not in these rooms with these owners, with these union reps, with Rob Manfred himself, because he's not going to mandate the owners to do anything. He screwed up every inflection point in his tenure. He seems to have screwed it up. And I go back to the Astros, and we can talk about that as well if you want, but we covered that extensively when it happened. Granting immunity to everybody and their mothers when they should have just went in and interviewed one or two guys, you know, mafia style, and get them to talk. And granted, just two people. But that's neither here nor there. Back to the issue at hand. Again, I don't know exactly how this would look. Or, you know, what would level the playing field best. But as a baseball fanatic, I do know that this is not good for the game. For the growth of the game, for the interest in the game itself. Great for the Dodgers. Good for them. I think you're going to see deferred money on the Soto contract whenever he decides to sign somewhere. And Paul Rosenberg before said he had on Randy Miller, was it? And Randy Miller thinks the Red Sox are the forerunners for the Soto sweepstakes, or in the Soto sweepstakes. So I wouldn't be surprised if they deferred some of his money to start to try to build a team around him. But I beg someone, and that someone probably is, I beg Rob Manfred to step in and at least denounce this. But he won't. He won't do it. Like, we sit here in New York and the New York metropolitan area. We're in a major market. LA, New York, Chicago, those are the major markets. But if you're in Tampa Bay, if you're in Oakland, how could you possibly try to defer hundreds of millions of dollars in player contracts when you don't even have a home stadium you can call your own? The answer is you can't. So is it, if you can't beat them, join them? Well, that's a bad precedent to set. And unfortunately, we're going to be stuck with this for a while because this collective bargaining agreement, this CBA that we discussed when it was voted upon and agreed to, right here in this studio, line by line, pretty much, we went through it. This CBA is in effect through the 2026 season. So we've got this winter of 2024-25. We've got the winter of 25-26. And I guess if they don't come to an agreement, I mean, I don't know. There's what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of time left with this nonsense, okay? And something needs to be done because the sport of baseball is becoming unenjoyable, especially to those small market teams. And, you know, nothing really could be done, I guess, or changed until the end of the 2026 season. So November of 2026 and the 2025 season. Is sure? 2026, yeah. So the end of the 2026 season. So we've got at least two more winters of this nonsense, of this deferred contract nonsense. And unfortunately for us diehard baseball fans, and I know that's not grammatically correct, I forget the term, but for the diehard baseball fans, including myself, including Rami behind the glass, this, I'm sounding the alarm. Where's the panic button in here? Because this is not good. Like, I get the whole concept of super team and all that, and you want to hate them, but this is a different, like, take on hate of the Dodgers. This is, well, wait a second, I hate you, but this can't be right or fair. There's a difference. And if nothing gets done, nothing changes, especially after the 2026 season and this CBA is null and void, this current one, baseball's in real trouble. I'm Danielle McCartan, 888-808-1019. Call us up, be part of the show, and thanks for making me part of your holiday weekend.